summer dress makes you more beautiful than the rest.
That's the sound of San Francisco alt rockers Red House Painters with their hit Summer Dress. And you're listening to Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams. And the guest joining me in the studio now is a native San Franciscan and celebrated author, Daniel Handler. He sometimes masquerades as an altogether different author by the name of Lemony Snicket, but I suspect that's just a ruse to allow him to be doubly prolific. Fans of his many terrific books, victims of his roving and capacious imagination, tourists in the pages he creates might anticipate his choice for this week's sense of place. Might be fantastical or far-flung, but he's chosen something a little closer to home. San Francisco's where he grew up, it's where he lives now with his family, and it's the setting for his fabulous latest book, We Are Pirates. It's home to the precious destination he's sharing with us today. Daniel Handler, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So are you just a man devoid of imagination? It's all about San Francisco, close to home?
Well, I wanted to choose a place which was important to me, and Ocean Beach in San Francisco is a place that that's been important to me my whole life. It's been haunting me my whole life. I go there very much, and then I'm traveling far and wide right now, and so I miss it. I miss you, Ocean Beach. You never write. You never call.
It's Ocean Beach is a regular listener to the show, actually, and will tweet, so I'm sure.
Oh, wonderful.
It appreciates the message from afar. So why this beach? Describe the beach to us, first off, because as Australians, we think we get beaches.
Yeah, well, this is a grey beach. It is often almost entirely empty. It has patches of large crows that mutter around in circles like sinister old men. It's almost always freezing and foggy, and you can walk perhaps with your dog or perhaps with a loved one or, you know, someone else's loved one, and walk up and down the sand in a melancholy way. And that's very much what I enjoy doing. So I thought I might bring some of that doom and melancholy to Australia, where in my experience, the beaches are delightful and full and being taken full advantage of, and kind of more of a Baywatch fantasy of a beach than we get in California.
There's more frolicking than melancholy, probably, but the melancholic beach is definitely a thing. Like, it's a decent... So San Francisco, I've never been, but it
You're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you. I'll take you up on that. You may regret that offer. But, you know, Californian beaches, we picture a kind of nice, sunny kind of possibility of surfing. But this is not the case when you go to Ocean Beach.
Yeah. Well, Southern California is closer to the California beach fantasy that the Beach Boys have exported all over the world. Northern California tends to be dreary and foggy at the shoreline. You know, it's a little bit like we expect Men at Work and Paul Hogan to await us when we arrive here in Sydney, and instead it's some kind of customs official who won't even take a picture with you.
So, okay, so you're not that Southern Californian picture, but, you know, I think San Francisco, I think probably three things. I think Alcatraz, Golden Gate Bridge, and that road where the cars go over it and the undercarriage hits it and sparks come out because there's a funny hill there that's in all the movies. Is there more to the city you grew up in and love than that, or is that it?
Well, San Francisco is a glorious city. It's an international city, and so certainly for people in the larger coastal cities of Australia, there'll be much that is familiar. San Francisco has notoriously progressive politics. It's been kind of a haven for all sorts of Americans and others who are escaping prejudice and unwelcomeness in the world. But the beaches are not where the action is in San Francisco. It's not where the glorious restaurants are or the trendy coffee shops or the progressive politics. It's a very empty neighborhood. And in fact, newcomers to San Francisco are often puzzled when they think, why doesn't anyone live near the water? And then they go to the water and they think, oh, this is why.
Because it makes you sad.
It's cold and gloomy and it makes you sad. And I say, yes, I love it. Shall we go again tomorrow? And then they say, no, you know, I think I don't want to stay with you anymore. And I say, oh, perhaps that was what I had in mind all along.
You're deliberately pushing them away with your beach, your sad, sad beach.
I will neither confirm nor deny such a conclusion, but nevertheless, they leave.
So is it a lower socioeconomic area in San Francisco, down around there, or is it just...
Relatively, it's not, you know, a dangerous neighborhood or full of the squalor of poverty or anything like that. It's not where the highest priced homes are on Ocean Beach. But it's just lonely. It's where the fog comes from. San Francisco, though notoriously foggy, has so many hills that you have these microclimates where the fog runs into a mountain and stays there. So the neighborhood closest to the water is going to be the foggiest. But it's where I went when I was a child, and I, you know, was something of a melancholic child often, and I really liked that beach. When I was a teenager, it was where I would go with friends to walk and discuss the philosophy of life pretentiously the way we liked to, or where I thought perhaps some young woman might appreciate a lonely beach as a basis for a romance, which is not at all the case.
And worth then trying, though.
Well, what isn't worth trying in high school? Come on. And then I continue to this day, when the world feels heavy, I go out to the beach by train or by car and sit there and walk up and down until I feel properly sad.
The beach is your pathetic fallacy right there in a single place. That thing where you, the climate, the conditions, they're entirely about managing your mood?
They are entirely to promote sadness and brooding, yes.
That's nice.
I regret to say in a single place, because there are many, many places where I can achieve such a thing, but Ocean Beach is probably my favorite. And then Ocean Beach, I imagine not coincidentally, is the name of a rather melancholic album by Red House Painters. Mark Kozlik, the pride of San Francisco, a fine singer and songwriter whose Red House Painters was his first band, and he's moved on to another band and to solo albums as well. But Ocean Beach is one of the pinnacles of his work, and that song, Summer Dress, always makes me think of Ocean Beach, not only because it's on the album called Ocean Beach, but it is about a girl in a summer dress, and you always see a few foolish visitors to Ocean Beach underdressed, thinking, oh, surely this will be like an episode of Baywatch, and instead huddling against the pilings, begging for mercy.
For you, in your writing, melancholy is definitely a feature, and you're definitely write beautifully about angst and melancholy.
Thank you.
It's undercut with wit and play, and it suggests your heart's not really in the sadness. Why do you go to a place? I'm interested in why you seek out that feeling of melancholy and then undercut it so beautifully.
Well, it's more that I think too much melancholy is inherently ridiculous. You know, I mean, Oscar Wilde famously said you can't read the scene of the famous death in Little Dorrit without laughing. And I think that, you know, you're sad and you're sad and you're sad, and then it begins to get particularly ridiculous. And then, of course, the ridiculousness is sad, and so then you spiral down and down and down. I also think that I come from a Jewish sensibility where suffering is undercut with humor almost all the time. Or I guess you could say that humor is undercut with suffering, depending on your point of view. But they just go hand in hand to me. So it makes sense, a sad sort of sense, that I would become the sort of person who would write about terrible things, say, happening to orphans over and over again, only to make them ridiculous, or to be here in, today anyway, gloomy Australia, promoting a book about a 14-year-old girl who teams up with some denizens of an old age home to commit acts of piracy in the San Francisco Bay, a sad and comic idea.
I want to say about that undercutting idea with Ocean Beach and yourself, and ask, do you have any memory of a sunny day there? Any memory of a day where you wanted to swim, where you wanted to frolic, where life felt like it was full of possibility?
There's occasionally sunny days in San Francisco that reach all the way out to the water. They are regarded with such wonder that they are literally accorded headlines in the local newspaper. But even if you wanted to swim at Ocean Beach, there's a terrifying sign about what has happened. It doesn't just say, don't swim. I believe it says, people who have swum here have drowned. And there's a few other lines of poetry like that. I swim most mornings in the San Francisco Bay, but that's on the bayside, which is much safer, also melancholic and also full of gloom. But I love the don't swim sign, because somehow it spirals into existential angst. I won't be able to quote it exactly, but you know, it says, don't swim, there are dangerous currents here, people who have swum here have drowned, you know, life is nothing but pain and suffering, and all of us are going to end up underwater eventually with no air afforded us. Why waste this precious time by doing it early?
Think of your loved ones.
That's right.
All it should say on the sign beside the beach. Think of your loved ones.
Right.
Have you done enough?
Maybe an etching of people weeping.
Yeah, that'll do it very nicely. All holding hands and looking out to sea.
Yeah, sadly. A small wreath on the water.
Phil Needle, one of the protagonists of your new novel, We Are Pirates,
yes,
is described at one point as a landlubber. Obviously, that's a good word in a book about piracy. But are you of the water? Like you mentioned, you swim in the bay regularly. Do you like to be out at sea? Is that
I like very much a body of water. I like to live next to it. I spend my summer on the East Coast next to a body of water. And it was only a few years ago that I started open water swimming in San Francisco, where the temperature can be quite challenging. And that's kind of utterly transformed me. Wherever I go, I see a body of water and I want to get into it. I like it that very much.
Oh, well, you've come to the right place.
I've been in the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean just in these past couple of months, so I'm rather proud of myself.
When you get the whole set, they give you a prize, I think, once you've done all the ocean.
A burial, yeah, I believe, is the prize. Yeah.
Out to sea. So I'm just curious that you still live in San Francisco, born there, grew up there, and you've chosen to stay there as an adult with your own family. Would you ever live somewhere else, or is it a place that is inextricably you?
I'd like to take an adventure and live other places, as I have, but I feel very, very drawn to San Francisco. I feel a great and deep and fanatical love for it. I'm kind of the sort of person who wanders around saying, you can't get this anywhere else in San Francisco. And someone will say, that is a cup of Earl Grey tea. You can get that anywhere. And I'll say, but it just doesn't taste the same. It doesn't taste. And they'll say, that's Twinings, Daniel. It's fine. You can get it anywhere. Put it in a cup of hot water. Stop talking, please.
So has it changed in that time since you grew up there?
You know, it has and it hasn't. There's a huge technological boom happening once more in San Francisco that I'm sure once more will shatter. It's perhaps shattering as I'm babbling here on the radio. And so many people like to say, oh, look at this expensive condominium that's going up where once was rubble. Or look at this group of people who've been disenfranchised yet again. And certainly there are grave political concerns with its continuing gentrification. And yet you can also walk down the same street that you know has been utterly unchanged since 1962 and go into the same crummy dive bar or a pizza shop in certain neighborhoods that hasn't changed. So that's one of the things I like about San Francisco, is that it has a constant hysteria about its change. That's its most unchanging aspect, is that everyone's worried it's changing.
It's been great talking to you today, Daniel.
Lovely to speak with you.
Daniel Handler is the author of many novels, including Why We Broke Up, Adverbs, Watch Your Mouth, and The Basic Eight, and has Lemony Snicket more books than I can list now. But his most recent book is We Are Pirates, and it is out now from Bloomsbury Books.